Well, Frank, it looks like we're back. This is Las Vegas International Press Club live. I can't believe it.
Oh, yeah. We're back. We're back. We got a great guest today, as you know.
I'll tell you, I'm really stoked because I have never sat next to, never spoken with, never interviewed somebody who's given a TEDx presentation. So I've got the whole talk here in my hand, so it's going to be a privilege to be talking with her in a few minutes.
I know. We're going to have Dr. Courtney Warren in the house. I like somebody that's got a...
She's got a 10 year
and says, hey, I'm walking. I'm leaving. I like it. I like it. So we're anxious to see and hear and listen to what that is all about. So before we go into that, as you know, we had John Lobb on the air about, whenever it was.
Yeah, you know, and he keeps a track, nevbio.org, a great, great website, and he talks about all the different activities that are going around town. I saw... Actually, you know, John Lobb is quite the guy about town because he was at the TMA meeting with John Restrepo and Bill Anderson and Marcus that we were just talking about in Financial Fridays. But he gets around all over town. And, you know, the good thing about Las Vegas is there are always so many exciting activities that are going on, so many exciting meetings. You know, there's no reason why you can't reach out and have a good time in this town.
I know.
And meet great people. This town is full of entrepreneurs and great people.
It is. And one thing about John Lobb is that when I moved here, 15 years ago, is that not only was I a very fortunate, this is where I met my wife at. And very lucky to do that. In fact, real quick, I'm probably the only guy I met my wife on, what is that, Match.com. And, hey, honey, I know you're out there. And so, anyway, I met her on Match.com, but I was sitting in Singapore because I was working in the Far East then, and I saw her picture pop up on my screen. But I was in Singapore, and I couldn't even meet her for like a month and a half because I had to do this job that I was over in Singapore. And by the time I finally met her, like a month and a half, 2 months later, right? And so, I mean, you know where the Bellagio is, right? So you know where the piano bar is?
Oh, yeah.
And so by that time, so I ended up saying, hey, I'll meet you. And what was so cool about it is that we talked back and forth via the computer, right? And so I don't know if you've ever had to, probably nobody in here has ever done Match.com, but maybe you have, I don't know. But anyway, by the time I got around to finally meeting her, it was like you'd meet these women online. Well, they tell you all this crap. It's never true. They have these Photoshop. You know, they have these Photoshop. They're like 100 years old, and the Photoshop is like they're 30, right? Well, not Elizabeth. If you ever meet Elizabeth, wow, she's just unbelievable. And so when I finally get to meet her, it's like when I walk into the piano bar, right? It's right where you check in at, right? So I walk by the bar. And I'm thinking to myself, is it going to be a Photoshop? What is it going to be of it, right? Well, I walk by the bar, and I see this beautiful lady sitting at the bar. So I'm saying to myself, if this is not it, I'm going to pick up on that lady that's sitting up at the bar, right?
And so she was your plan. Your plan A was your plan B.
My plan A was my plan B. So I walked by, and boom, the lady sitting at the bar was Elizabeth. And so I'm going, what? Are you kidding me? What a deal. So anyway. So the second best thing that happens, I get to meet John. John Lobb, as you know, is one of the nicest guys in town, isn't he, Leonard?
He's a great guy.
And so what he has done is that I met him. I met him through CEO CFO Group, which ended up acquiring, and then we put that business together. But anyway, John Lobb has probably come out with one of the best calendar events. What's going around with the who's in town, what have you. And so what I want to do is read off some of the things that he's got going on. May 30th, that's gone. But June 2nd, what's going on is you got the healthcare committee, which is at 9 o'clock at the Grant Sawyer Building. June 2nd, Tuesday, is the NDOT Board of Directors meeting at 9 a.m. over at the Stewart Building. And also June 3rd is the Tuesday Economic Forum. June 3rd also is the Clark County Commission's meeting. June 3rd also is the GWIB Logistics Sector Council. June 3rd is also another meeting, the Economic Development Subcommittee. June 3rd is the meeting at the Henderson City Council. June 4th, Wednesday, is the on Sunset, the subcommittee at the Grant Sawyer Building. June 4th, Wednesday, is the Las Vegas City Council meeting at the Council's Chamber of Commerce. June 4th, 5th, Wednesday is the Thursday Gaming Control Board meeting. June 4th, 5th, and 6th is the, this is a big one, Clark County Commission Marijuana Meeting. That's going down. I mean, that is going down. That's for all the licensing. Hey, you guys, get in there. Don't roll them before you get in there, though, boys, once you get your license. June 4th, the Wednesday, is the North Las Vegas City Council meeting. And June 5th, they got the Department of Bus Industrial Real Estate. June 5th and 6th, we got the Thursday-Friday NSH Board of Regents. That is really good.
That's with Kevin Page. We've had Kevin Page on here, and we had great conversation with him. All kinds of exciting activities that he's looking for in terms of opportunities. So that should be an interesting meeting.
And you got the June. You want to take it from the June 5th? You got it there?
Yeah, well, I got the 9th. There's the Community College and Government Funding at the Grant Sawyer Building at 9 a.m. Nevada Publishing Purchasing Studying Commission meeting at 12 p.m. at the Grant Sawyer Building as well. The Las Vegas Convention and Visitor Meeting, June 10th. It doesn't have a time on it. So that kind of rounds things out. So we got a great week ahead of us. There's always something great to be doing here in Las Vegas. And, you know, if you're trying to expand your business, some of these places are great places to go to network and meet great people, the people that are the movers and shakers in town. So you don't want to be missing this. And, you know, go to the website, nevbio.org, and you can go ahead and subscribe and put in your email list. And it's a great place, and you get it Sunday evening.
Right, and I think another thing, too, is keep in mind, if you want to get on this, just go to, go to John Lobb and get on his mailing list, and it's really simple. I think it's johnlobb, .org, and I think you can, or else just go to our website, LasVegasInternationalPressClub.com, and we carry that as well, so... It's a place to be. It's great information for you guys out there that want to know what's going on around town, and he's always got really good information. So, that's about what we're the latest and greatest what's going on around town. We're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we're going to have Dr. Courtney S. Warren, and she has got some interesting hot stuff that you need to hear about. So, what do you have to say?
Just be honest. Just choose honesty, baby. We'll be back talking about honesty.
No lies.
That's right.
Okay.
The Canada-Nevada Business Council is a proud sponsor of Las Vegas International Press Club Radio. And one of the members of Canada-Nevada is Opportunity Realty.
The U.S. is the land of opportunities. Hi, I'm Colin Darrow. I'm the owner of Opportunity Realty. Opportunity Realty was named after the great opportunities that exist in the United States, and particularly here in Nevada. And we like to provide help and assistance to investors and homeowners in real estate. Give us a call anytime. 702-804-0077, 702-804-0077, or go on our website, which is opportunityrealty.net. And Opportunity Realty is proud to be part of the Canada-Nevada Business Council.
Find out more about the Canada-Nevada Business Council at canadanevada.org. That's canadanevada.org.
How successful is your retirement plan? On average, only 25% of participants are on track to achieve a successful retirement. At Unified Trust, we find that simply unacceptable. That's why we developed the Unified Plan, a retirement plan that actually works. It's a plan that's personalized to each individual's unique circumstances and goals. And since Unified Trust is a discretionary trustee, we're able to make changes automatically, helping you stay on track to achieve a successful retirement. The success of a retirement plan should be based on the number of employees able to retire successfully. And our Unified Plan solution does just that, nearly tripling the industry average. It's time to find out how successful your plan is. Visit UnifiedTrust.com today. Investments are not FDIC insured and are not deposits of or guaranteed by Unified Trust Company. As with any investment, there are risks, including the risk of losing principal.
Rolling Stone.
I'll tell you, Frank, this is very interesting with Courtney Warren. I'm just kind of reading the bio here. She's the child of two college professors. Yep. So it's no mistake that you got to be a PhD and doctor, right?
You know, it's a true statement. There wasn't a lot of flexibility about getting a graduate degree or not.
So she's raised in an academic environment. She's been all over the world. It says here, you've lived in Australia, Argentina, traveled throughout Central America, South America, Russia, Scandinavia, and Western Europe. You're a world traveler, and that was as a child, right?
Yes, from the time I was very young. We basically spent most summers abroad, so we would travel all over. I moved to Australia for high school, actually, to Fremantle.
Oh, you went to high school in Australia?
I did. I did part of my high school.
I like that.
And it was a lot of fun. I thought I was going to be a theater major. Perth.
Oh, the jewelry capital of the world. That flows into the diamond. That's the diamond world.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Oh,
very interesting. I like Perth, Australia. That's very nice. So how did they change you from becoming a thespian into a PhD here in psychology?
You know,
that's a fundamentally different deal.
Well, there actually is so much overlap. Because if you're going to be a great actor, I think arguably you have to understand human nature. And that is the world of psychology. So I actually went the route of double majoring in theater and in psychology, and then went to graduate school in psychology.
Oh, that's true. Now do you do theater at all just for the fun of it as a hobby?
I don't. Although at some point, maybe I will again. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like that. So when you were in high school, did you do any of all the plays and all that?
I did. And I did some in college as well. It was a lot of fun.
Wow.
A lot of fun.
That is a lot of fun. So we've never had somebody on here from TEDx before, right?
No. And, you know, after I was very fortunate. I've got to see her video on TEDx. And as you know, I didn't tell you this, but she followed Dr. Cummings,
absolutely,
right?
Jeff Cummings, yes.
And Dr. Cummings' wife, Dr. Zong, sits on our board for Canada, Nevada, as you know.
Correct.
And so I was... I thought that was very cool. I thought you did a great job.
Thank you.
So
you work at the Ruvo Institute here?
No.
I don't.
She doesn't, but Dr. Cummings, as you know, is the director of there. But his wife sits on our board, the Canada-Nevada Business Council. And so I was watching her video, which I thought she did a great job. And so after seeing that, I said, you know, I asked my wife, I said, you know, we need to have her on the radio show, and we need to get her up. Plus, I love it when somebody had tenured professor and just says, hey, I'm quitting. I said, hey, I love that. Here she has a tenure, right? Come on, let her up. I mean, how many people do that?
No one ever does that.
That's just like having a gold mine and says, hey, I'm shutting it down.
That's right.
You just struck it rich and said, hey, we're shutting the gold mine down. I mean, that's just too cool.
It is not typical. There's nothing typical.
And so when you did that, did you discuss that with your husband and your baby girl? I mean, what'd she say?
Yes, of course. You know, I realize that very few people get tenure and then quit, right? Uh-huh. That's sort of not the way that academia is set up.
Right.
But after getting tenure, I took a year-long sabbatical
to focus on
my research.
Okay.
As I did that, I had a baby. My daughter.
Okay.
And coming back to academia after taking a year off with a little 9-month-old, I really had to confront a lot of my own self-deception about why I should stay in academia or why I should leave. And the very obvious answer was, of course you should stay in academia because you've worked your entire career to get here. And the bottom line was, when I asked myself whether I would regret spending less time in academia or spending less time with her, the answer was pretty obvious to me.
More
the only regret I would really have was having a little baby girl who only saw her mom before she went to bed at night. And that wasn't okay with me. And so I quit.
Okay. And so are you going to, because as now, is this we're, by the way, audience, we have this book. So this is the book that you've written.
Yeah. So what happened was they asked me to give a TEDx talk, right? And the talks, as many of you know, if you ever watched TED Talks, are really short.
Yeah.
So I had 13 minutes. And as I started writing the talk, I had so much to say. And so what I did is I basically put my long version of the TEDx talk into this little book that is written for the general public. It is not super, you know, psychologically wordy. It is meant to be very much for the public. It should be read in about an hour. It's a short little book, but it's fundamentally what I want you to know about self-deception, what it is, why it's a problem, and how to start changing.
So since you can't see what Frank is holding, because he talked about the book and he held it up for you guys to see. But
I've always had a voice for TV.
You do. You've got a voice for TV and a face for... Yeah. So, Lies We Tell Ourselves, The Psychology of Self-Deception is the name of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Lies We Tell Ourselves, The Psychology of Self-Deception. So, and this is available on Amazon and...
Amazon. If you are a ebook reader, it's on Nook. It's on Kindle. You can also get a paper copy of it on Amazon.
So are you staying here in Vegas, and now that you quit, are you leaving? Are you going someplace else for greener pastures, or is this the oasis?
You're going to stay here at the oasis.
It's a question mark, but I definitely will not leave Vegas in the immediate future. So we will certainly be here for large chunks of the year.
Now, when I was vice president of Boeing, and I took a sabbatical, okay. And, when I took that sabbatical, I did the same thing. I did it for my daughters. Okay, I wanted to be with my daughters and what have you, and I just actually took it. I just stayed away from everybody. Okay, and I had a farm back in Eastern Maryland on the Potomac River, and when I wanted to get back into the business world. I mean, I stayed away for a little over 18 months. But then I realized I wanted to get back into the business world. Mm-hmm. Now, you've stayed away. You've written this book. How are you going to stay in touch with the business? Okay, listen. What are you going to do? This cycle of people that you deal with, you don't have students anymore, right?
Well, so I just finished this year. So I was at UNLV all this year. I am currently wrapping up my lab and wrapping up my office and moving myself out. But I'll still be an associate adjunct professor at UNLV and at the School of Medicine in Nevada for at least 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And I honestly have more work than I possibly
can do. You do, don't you?
Yeah. So it's actually, so far, hasn't felt like I've retired at all or resigned at all. But I think when I go back to this fall and realize that I'm not actually teaching, it's going to be a little shocking.
That's when
I think it'll open up. Yes. Okay. And in terms of what I want to do next, you know, my biggest complaint about academia is that we spend a tremendous amount of effort writing grants and doing research that is very, very important, but only published in scientific peer-reviewed journals. And although I think there are lots of reasons that that matters in terms of influencing the field, the truth is that in a topic field theme like psychology, where at its core, the goal is to help people understand themselves, that is really a shame because most people will never read the many, many articles that I've written over the course of my career. And in fact, my goal is actually to help people. So in whatever my career evolves into, it will be much more aimed at bringing strong research-based, theory-based psychological knowledge to the general public.
Okay, so really what you're saying is these articles in these journals are above most people's heads, so they can't translate it. So really you're talking about translation into the common language.
Yes, very much so.
And processes and systems so that people, you know, I've interviewed Dr. Jason Selk, who's I don't know if you know Dr. Jason Selk at all, but he's a psychologist, and he came up with a process on how to do that called relentless solution focus, which you take it from the negative side and always come up with a solution to make it positive. There are so many different aspects of psychology you could apply different type of treatment modalities to.
Yes.
But you've got all this content that is really meaningless for the masses because it doesn't get to them, essentially. You know, you've got an interesting thing I wanted to get to, and I'm not sure how much time we have left here. I keep on asking Lawrence to push the show out a little bit further, but
yeah, he never does it. I don't know why, but I'm not getting.
We got to figure that thing
out. But you know, one thing I was just thinking about what she said. So she spends a lot of her time writing for. Correct me if I'm wrong. So you spend a lot of your time writing for grants.
And for other professionals.
Yeah,
I write for other PhDs.
That's what I'm saying. Doesn't it just blow your mind? That you and I understand why you have to do that, because the university has to do that to survive.
Yes.
But
so why do you have to write for other PhDs? Right. That's the one part I don't get.
Well, what are the students?
Are you a ghostwriter too?
No, but they're the only people who are going to read our peer-reviewed journal articles. So in addition to being maybe over people's heads, I'm not sure that they really are, but potentially, they're also journals that most people don't have access to or wouldn't actually buy.
Right. What are the kids?
So, like, the International Journal of Eating Disorders is a journal that I publish in a lot. I got to think there probably isn't a listener out there who subscribes to the International Journal of Eating Disorders.
Well, Leonard, I've seen I get in your car. You have a stack of those.
I have an eating problem. The problem is I love too much food. Can you help me?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yes. So, for example, one thing that I just started doing is I started writing a blog for Psychology Today. And I don't know if you know Psychology Today, but it's a huge sort of pop psychology magazine promoted to the masses and with a big online presence. That's the kind of thing where I can take my research and other people's research that's published in big peer-reviewed journals and actually translate it into a small little format that's something that hopefully the public can digest and use.
And not very many people actually do that, because it makes a lot of sense, because that's kind of what we talk in the business community about. So what you're saying is there's a bridge that needs to be built from academia into the, and you know, these blogs that translate is the way to go.
I think it's definitely one mechanism that can be really helpful. Yeah.
You know, you have an interesting point down here. You talk about the recent murders and how people become mass shooters and self-deception and lies that, you know, kind of, this is fascinating because I think everybody always points to it's the gun that's the problem. But I know before there was a guy that ran into killed four students at Santa Barbara back in 2001. The dad of that son was a friend of mine. So what we got is we got four people killed by car, three people killed by knife, and three people killed by shooting. Mm-hmm. So most of it's a non-weapons problem. But we always focus on weapons in this country. You will get to the core, and the issue is a core discussion. And it seems like you have a core issue here that you can share.
Yeah. So one thing that I think, and this would relate to all of us actually, from the mass shooters to all of us as we live our everyday lives, is that oftentimes we use emotional pain to justify extreme acts of cruelty and brutality and trauma. And so, unfortunately, if you read his manifesto, and he's just one example of this, he will talk a lot about being maltreated and having difficulty dating and emotional turmoil. And he uses that in a way that allows him to hurt others. That is a lie. That is a lie that many of us do. We say, I hurt so I can justify hurting you.
So let's do this then. I want to bring you back on a radio show, the one that comes before this, and expand on it because it has financial implications.
See that, and I agree. I told you that is just,
you're kind of blown away, Frank. You don't allot enough time for great people like this.
I agree.
I just don't know. I'm gonna have to talk with you afterwards.
And I don't want to cut into our next guest time because
we can't do it
because we got another great guest. We got Sue Loudon in the house. And it's a special thing. I wanted to have her on for the USO that I want to talk about. Yeah, I don't know if people out there know. She used to go on tours in Vietnam.
Whoa.
That's awesome.
And she is great. So thank you very much
for
being on
me.
The show. Dr. Courtney is
Courtney Warren.
Very nice. Thank
Lies
you.
Lies we tell ourselves.
Don't be lying out there because we will, Courtney Google will her. Track you down.
That's right.
She'll
we
haunt
all
you.
Lie.
She'll
so
make
work
you,
on it.
You'll force them to read your books.
I hope so. I hope you work
don't
on
get,
it.
How do they get a hold of you? You have a website? And what's
absolutely.
Your website?
ChooseHonesty.com.
I like
Choose
that.
ChooseHonesty.
ChooseHonesty.com. And is there, that's the only way that we can get a hold of you?
You can email me, courtney.warren@unlv.edu or courtneywarren@choosehonesty.com.
Great.
Okay.
Thank
and
so
hey,
much.
Thank you very much, Dr.
Weekend.
Courtney.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And by the way, my wife made this happen. Thanks a lot, honey. We appreciate it.
This is Leonard Wright, Money Doctor for the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, reminding you that asset diversification is important. We continue our series that highlights that the next crisis, just as it always has been, is just around the corner. For help in determining your risk tolerance and asset diversification strategy, you can find a personal financial specialist at www.findapfs.org. The NASDAQ peaked on March 10th, 2000 at 5,132. As of the market close on February 13th, 2009, nearly 9 years later, the NASDAQ closed at 1534.36, a drop of 70% from its peak. The dot-com crash resulted after a period of years in which investment fundamentals were ignored in favor of cash burn rates, market share expansions, and overwhelming speculation by investors in this new and emerging technology. It was said at the time that in order to justify the price-earnings ratio over the course of a few years of Dell computers, Dell would have to sell one of its computers to every man, woman, and child on Earth. Today, Dell is down by more than 80% of its peak. Some contributing factors to the mania was the Y2K issue that companies all over the world spent an incredible amount of money making sure that their computers and software had the capability to handle the new millennium. When computers worked on January 1st, 2000, there was a natural slowdown in technology for companies. Companies at the same time were beginning to feel the pinch of higher interest rates. Price-earnings ratios requiring ever greater expansion of revenues and an actual moderation and decline in revenues occurring, the pump was primed for a classic market collapse. Complicating matters in the economy were the terrorist attacks in New York City and Washington, D.C. Markets were closed, and when they reopened, a precipitous drop occurred as investors adjusted to the new reality of the prospect of successful widespread terrorism in the United States. Interest rates were lowered drastically, making it very inexpensive to purchase significant assets, particularly residential real estate. As a result, home and auto loans were made to those without income or assets and to those who lacked a Social Security number. As a result, housing prices skyrocketed and job losses were minor, and the United States escaped with perhaps one of the mildest recessions in our history. It was so mild that some have argued that we may not have had a recession at all. The frauds that were created during the years that followed triggered the greatest crisis, perhaps, in American history. This is Leonard Wright, Money Doctor for the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, and you've been listening to Money Bites. You can find us at 360financialliteracy.org.
The Canada-Nevada Business Council is a proud sponsor of Las Vegas International Press Club Radio. And one of the members of Canada-Nevada is Opportunity Realty.
The U.S. is the land of opportunities. Hi, I'm Colin Darrow. I'm the owner of Opportunity Realty. Opportunity Realty was named after the great opportunities that exist in the United States, and particularly here in Nevada. And we like to provide help and assistance to investors and homeowners in real estate. Give us a call anytime, 702-804-0077, 702-804-0077, or go on our website, which is opportunityrealty.net. And Opportunity Realty is proud to be part of the Canada-Nevada Business Council.
Find out more about the Canada-Nevada Business Council at canadanevada.org. That's canadanevada.org.
Memory of sentimental verse, nothing in my purse, and chuckles when the preacher said, for better or for worse,
how lovely it was.
Hey, how do you like that? Live in the house, we got memories, and the reason why, Bob Hope.
Of Schubert's, you know, I wanted to. The memories that are from Bob Hope are amazing.
I know. The reason we have Sue Loud in the house, and the reason why I have special memories is because of this week was the Bob Hope honorary special for him doing, I think it was a birthday. Wasn't it this week?
It would have been his 111th.
111th birthday.
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know how we know that.
Amazing.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
And he lived until he was 101, didn't he? About that, 101.
Are you kidding me? Really? I didn't know that.
I didn't realize he was 101.
Yes. Yes, wow. He lived a long time.
And I think his wife just died not too long ago as well.
Yes, Dolores. But she was younger than, you know, younger than he was. But he kept working up until the end. I remember somebody asking him, like Jay Leno or somebody like that, saying, you know, when are you going to retire? And he said, why would I ever retire?
See, that's why we're going to be, Leonard, because I love what we
do. Yes, exactly.
It's just a lot of fun.
You
have to
love what you do.
And we love what we do.
And you never retire because it's not work to retire from.
That's
and
what
you
he
know
said.
What I, and so I reached out, and I was trying to think. I wanted to do special, something special, because I was in Vietnam when Bob Hope came to Vietnam twice. I was very
Did you see some of his shows?
Oh, of course I did. Of course I did. We blew down the tent when he came to town. Well, I was on a helicopter. We come in from a helicopter gun run one time. He's up on the stage, and we come roaring in, and we've knocked down the tent, the whole damn thing. I don't
you
know
knocked
if
down
you
a Bob Hope tent.
Do you or not?
I never blew down a tent, no.
So we come by on a gun run, and we come
larger
by.
Larger than life.
The pilot says, hey, what the hell? Blah, blah. So we said, we just come roaring by and knock the damn stage down and what have you. And so anyway, when I saw that, I said, you know, I said, we got to do something special. And then I remember Sue Loudon, because I've talked to her before. We've had her on the radio show, and when I remember her telling us that she's been on, used to go on the tours, the USO tours with Bob Hope, and I know she's running for lieutenant governor. But I said, hey, would you take some time out and come on the radio show? And I know I appreciate you taking time out from campaigning, Sue. And come by and talk about some of the memories that you had with Bob Hope. And
well, this is fun. You know, you can take the time off of campaigning when you have something fun like this. And I can't believe all these years later, 1971,
can you believe
I went
that?
To Vietnam. It really ages me. I know.
Now,
it
come
really
on.
Ages
what was,
me.
What was you, 17?
Yes, well, 18. But nevertheless, it
okay,
still
we'll
ages
here.
You. And that I'm still talking about it all these years
can
later.
Can you believe that?
I can tell you on this during this campaign, so many veterans, especially Vietnam veterans, because, you know, that was a war where our vets came home and they were not given the proper respect that they should have for fighting for our country. And I think they really feel a special kinship with someone who actually volunteered to go to Vietnam during that very difficult time in our nation's history. You know, I think that our generation of vets and USO members are making it up to the kids now returning home from Iraq and Afghanistan and giving them the honor that they deserve when they come home because of what you all went through. I really believe that.
And I agree with you being there myself personally. And I wanted you to also understand how much it meant to being over there and for people like yourself, Petula Clark was the one. Can you imagine her? I don't know if you ever bumped into her.
I did not.
But she was one of the ones that I would go, that I went to see, and I'd be standing there and we'd have drinking hot beer and listening to you guys sing and dance and all of us GIs for me. It was just something to take a break. And then after you guys left, we jump in the chopper and go out and kill 20 or 30 people.
Aye.
And I'm going, what is this all about?
We had Jill St. John with us.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, still lovely after all these years. She's still a beautiful woman. And we had Jim Nabors. Remember, he did that Gomer Pyle.
Oh, yeah.
And he would imitate and do funny stuff as Gomer Pyle with Bob Hope and everything. And then he'd sing that opera. Remember, he had that beautiful opera
voice.
Right,
that's right.
And the GIs went crazy because everyone, you know, didn't remember that he could sing so well, and he was really a good guy. You know, we had people who came in and went as we went through Thailand and Spain and Wake Island and Guam. If I could tell you that in Tonopah, I met up with a vet who was in Guam with me. I was in Guam with him.
Right.
He was stationed in Guam and Vietnam, but we happened to stop in Guam. The island's about as big as a drop in the water. I couldn't believe we were landing. I couldn't even see the island.
I've landed in Guam before.
Yes, and it's the middle of the night, and you go out and you do a show, and he has all these pictures, this veteran who lives in Tonopah. And I was, as we were talking here, I was looking through to find it to show you, and I will show you before I leave today, that he had a whole book of pictures from that show, and he opens it up to my picture.
Are you kidding
from
me?
1971, and he said to his wife, here's Sue right here. We were together in Guam, and I saw him in November. I was in Tonopah. I just saw him for Jim Butler Days again last weekend, and he blew up the picture for
me.
And he said, this is for your new office. He wants me to hang it in my new office. Is that a sweet thing to do?
That's about as good as it gets.
So, you know, all these years later, I'm still seeing how much it meant to those who served our military for us to have been there. At the time, you know, it's overwhelming, and you don't realize the impact you're having. But, you know, it was Christmas. It was Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
You know, it was during that very special time. And a lot of veterans are very grateful.
And you know, you just saying that, you being over there Christmas Eve, right?
Yes, yes.
And people just don't realize, here you're taking the time, but see, the GIs are sitting in foxholes.
Yes.
They're sitting in these little pup tents, and they're there for the Christmas and what have you. But what's going through your mind? I mean, are you missing your family too, or you're going? I mean, are you thinking the same thing?
Well, it was a bold leap for me at 18 years old to hop on an Air Force cargo plane and go around the world with Bob Hope and people I didn't know and the band, and you know, didn't know if I, frankly, you're in a war zone. You know, we knew as soon as we hit Vietnam, because we had fighter jets escorting us into Vietnam. And you know, you don't realize that at 18, exactly when you're going. But yes, I was homesick. Absolutely. It's Christmas Eve.
What is Bob Hope? Is he cracking up jokes or trying to keep you happy? Or
the whole time.
Drinking beer, raising hell, or what's
he
doing?
No, I never saw him drink, but he did crack a lot of jokes. And I have to tell you, he was on that plane with us.
Was he?
And everybody thinks that he must have been treated like a VIP or something. He was on the cargo plane with us. Remember, they don't have windows.
They had C-123s, C-130s. Right?
No windows. The seats are backwards. You know, they're temporary seats.
Yeah, right.
And he would periodically go and take a little nap where the pilots sleep, you know, that little area in the front.
I know exactly
but
where it's
other
at.
Than that, he was out there, you know, we were out there maybe 20, 30 minutes performing. He was out there 2.5 hours. 100-degree weather, 100-degree humidity.
What a guy.
71
a guy.
Years old.
Unbelievable.
I mean, unbelievable. Talk about a patriot. Wonderful
you
man.
You know, one thing I remember, I was a youngster. In 1971, I was 10 years old, in the 60s, you know, when he was doing these shows. But what I do remember from that time was that they would always televise these shows.
Yes.
And I remember clearly, because they'd be on television, and you'd have Bob Hope, and then you'd see the troops. And it was a very positive impact as a guy that was, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. I don't think we really do that much anymore, do we? I don't remember seeing anything where, I mean, the USO is still, but we don't televise any of that stuff. And that indelible impression, in a positive way, in a respectful way for what you guys did, Frank, you know, that was that's indelibly imprinted in my mind, because I saw, you know, very, very positive influence.
Me too.
And we don't see that on television. It's not part of the programming. You guys are off on the back shelf. But every once in a while, you guys would be, you know, during the war, the Vietnam War, at least you were there and we could see you. And as a kid, I could see all the troops out there. And it was just really kind of a neat experience as like an 8-year-old to see that and watch it with his parents, with Bob Hope, and have your dad talk about his experience back between the Korean War and you know, that whole thing. And it was just a great you know, around the coffee table kind of conversation for a family. We really lack in this country today, I think.
And you would think with all the television we have now, with cable programming, the military channel, all of these stations now that are out there, you would think that the USO would be televised, because I know that there are still troops going over to Afghanistan and to Iraq and, frankly, places all over the world still, the USO. You don't have a Bob Hope. You don't
You
know, somebody who's the head of the USO that you think of, like a Bob Hope, but it still would be a program I'd want to see.
Well, yeah, you know, there are famous artists that go over there, but all it warrants is a 2-minute clip on the news.
Yes.
And that the entertainment value is still, I mean, it's extraordinary, and to be able to get that collective togetherness as a country, I think, would be something that's been overlooked for a long time.
Yeah. We could use that right now, couldn't we?
You know, it's positive. It's
well, I think that's why I really like what we're doing when we dedicate the 10, 12 minutes that we dedicate to the veteran on the show. And I think that's why I think we still have that. We want to be patriotic, And I think that that's what this country is really lost. I mean, look what's going on with the VA, and look at all that mess that we're involved with right now.
How about that's in Arizona under John McCain's watch? You know, who's the most well-known veteran perhaps in the country but John McCain, and it's his home state where this is happening.
I know.
Have you heard him rise up and protest all the television time he's had? Oh, well, nothing really.
Really? I know, and I think it's just terrible. So that's why I wanted to reach out to Sue, and I'm glad that she took the opportunity from the campaign trail, and because you know she's in an important race, and I think it's this is what people don't realize what it meant to the troops to be able to go out and have somebody like that show up, and because I was one of them, I was one of those guys in the battlefield, and when the USO pulled up and they set up and. To take time out to just go out there and have people like yourself show up on the stage, we would go crazy. And I've always wanted to see the other side, what you thought. I mean, you look at us out there and say, what a bunch of crazy fools.
No. Yeah. I have to tell you that those who go on a tour like that are people who aren't necessarily out to better their careers. They're out to do something good,
okay.
You know, and it warms your heart to see that you might be making a difference. And it was wonderful. You know, we got up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember one time when we landed in Wake Island, like an unexpected, let's just land in Wake Island and give the guys a small show. And it was packed, 5,000 guys out there.
Can you imagine?
Awesome. In the middle of the night, in a little tiny island that I said, where are we landing? Because you can't see an island. You know, it's like a dot. It's a dot in that ocean.
And she's 100% right. No matter if I had guard duty, I'm so tired. I mean, to me, and just so you understand, it's like, don't forget, there was no women in the service when I was there, right? So it's like us guys saying, hey, you know, we got a woman that's got hair. Hey, we're showing up. I don't know if you knew that, Leslie. Yeah, I mean,
the good old days.
Yeah, the good old days. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's before internet. Good. Think about it. It's before cell phones. Yeah. Before internet.
I mean, it wasn't like we was calling home every week.
No.
You know, mail call. I'd show up. I mean, it's the even though I wasn't getting a letter, I'm still showing up for mail call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so it was always nice. So, anyway, hey, we got Shad coming up here. If you don't mind staying, he's the guy from the Veterans Thing.
Yes, I'd love to hear him.
I told him he was going to be on the show. So, hey, Shad, I hope you're out there. We're going to be talking to you here in about another minute. And Sue, thanks. Stay around, and
okay.
I know he'd love to hear from you. So we'll be right back, and let's go, Shad. Hang around. We'll see you in a second. Bye.
I love your dress.
Do you?
It's pretty.
If you're not satisfied with the results your website is getting, do your business a huge favor and listen to this short message. Okay, here's the real deal. 20 years ago, you could throw just about anything up on the net and people would flock to it. Today, that's simply no longer possible. The reason is that there are literally billions of websites online. That's a lot of competition. Today, a website needs so much more than just a nice design. It needs to be truly creative, incredibly dynamic, and have flawless function. It needs powerful SEO that will put it at the top of the search engines, like Google and Bing. And well-crafted advertising campaigns that drive plenty of traffic to your virtual door. And it also needs one last thing: engaging, valuable, or at least entertaining content written by creative experts. Because let's face it, even if you do everything to get people to visit your site, if you don't give them content that keeps them there, you're still sunk. And that content is what you'll find at RankingEdge.com. Contact us today and let us show you how we can turn your website into the most powerful business tool you own. A website that stands out, brings in visitors, turns them into customers, and sells your product or service. RankingEdge.com. Websites that work. 702-463-0977. 702-463-0977.
The Canada-Nevada Business Council is a proud sponsor of Las Vegas International Press Club Radio. And one of the members of Canada and Nevada is Opportunity Realty.
The U.S. is the land of opportunities. Hi, I'm Colin Darrow. I'm the owner of Opportunity Realty. Opportunity Realty was named after the great opportunities that exist in the United States, and particularly here in Nevada. And we like to provide help and assistance to investors and homeowners in real estate. Give us a call anytime, 702-804-0077, 702-804-0077, or go on our website, which is opportunityrealty.net. And Opportunity Realty is proud to be part of the Canada-Nevada Business Council.
Find out more about the Canada-Nevada Business Council at CanadaNevada.org. That's CanadaNevada.org.
Hey, Shad, are you out there today?
No, I'm here, baby.
Hey, what is going on? I bet you're all happy with the new veterans man of Shenansky. I mean, is he still with us? You have anything to do with him resigning, or what's going on?
It was more of a symbolic thing. I mean, he had no choice, but, you know, nothing's changed. You know, VA has, you know, he just sits at the top of the pyramid. I've been in 43 years of my 15 years with the VA, starting my career, they probably replaced five, and they just continue to replace them. Is the Medal of Honor winner Vietnam vet Jack Jacobs said 2 weeks ago on the nightly news, needs to be scrapped. They need to start over and give a high-end health care system to our veterans. But anyway, so be it. But nothing's really going to change. I'll just have several investigations and quieten it down, put a new five-star general on top of the mess, and it'll be quiet for a while until another 70 or 80 veterans die and somebody blows the whistle.
I agree.
That's the truth.
Well, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. I wanted to also let you know that I asked, I don't know if you've been listening to the show, but I've got...
Yeah, I was listening to Sue.
I asked her to stay over, so she's on the mic with me here as well as Leonard.
I can see her now back in, you know, whoever was with Bob Hope in 70 down in July, I can remember what... I agreed with your sentiments, and those were about as big as mail call. You couldn't have said it better. Just to see a woman, you know, being in health for whatever, whether a day or a year. I mean, my God, it was kind of like a mirage in the desert. You know, it was like they really do exist.
And of course,
they were all perfect and beautiful. And Bob Hope was crazy. It was wonderful. No, God bless her, Sue. I salute you and appreciate you staying on the show.
Thank you, Shad, very much. It was an honor to have been part of the USO, and nice talking to you on this program. You know, because of my service with the USO, I'm part of the Catholic War Veterans post 1942 here in Las Vegas. They accepted me as not as an auxiliary member, but as a member because of my service to the USO. So I'm still very dedicated to our veterans here in Nevada.
Well, I totally get why they did that, because you probably lived a lot more dangerously flying from these little islands and into combat without any training. So you have no idea how dangerous it was.
No, it's probably better that I didn't know it, too.
That's right. That's right. We won't talk about that.
That's right.
So anyway, I'm we're thrilled. Like I say, I think it was 2 days ago or 3 days ago, it was Bob Hope's 111th birthday, and so as you know, he was a big player in coming over to Vietnam, and so I thought it was more than appropriate to get Sue to come on the show. I don't know if you know her or not, but she's running for lieutenant governor. And
yeah, I was listening to that. It was incredible.
I know. So and
go, Sue, go.
Thank you. You know, the primary is right around the corner, June 10th, so it's going to be happening very quickly in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I have a lot of vets that I work discussed their problems all over the country, but particularly in Vegas. Frank knows a lot of the issues I've been dealing with, even at that that facility with these new young veterans. And so I'll make sure they rally around your cause.
Thank you, sir.
Immediately.
I appreciate that. You know, I'm with the Nevada Military Support Alliance. It's a group dedicated to our wounded warriors here in Nevada, and we're building a Fisher House. We're going to break ground.
Wow.
Yes. Can you believe we don't have one yet in Nevada? So we're going to break ground this summer, and we are really focusing on making that happen.
That's Jill Brown's.
Yes, that's Joe Brown's. Right, right. Yes, yes. Joe and I are on the board together.
That's right. And so I just pointed out, just so you understand, Shad, I just pointed out to Sue your foundation and some of the things that we're going to do, and hopefully I'll get
Sue. We'd love to have her
Yeah,
involved,
I want to see.
In Vegas.
Yeah, well, we're going to.
Some of the events.
I know she's pulled on a lot. Sue is very dedicated to veterans, and I know she's pulled on a lot for a lot of different things, and so and hopefully she's pulled on for the lieutenant governor.
Can I share with both of you that I just received the support of Veterans in Politics.
Oh, did you really?
Yes,
oh,
we had
that,
a big
that's
Steve Sansom and
yeah,
that
Steve
group.
Sampson.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
Steve
I was Sampson, very happy. Yeah. They put a billboard up that with my face on it saying that Veterans in Politics supports me, so I'm very honored to have that
that
endorsement.
Was Steve's done.
Well, just so you know, Sue, Bob Hope was on my honorary board. He's memory now, along with a few others like Jack Lemmon and Robert Mitchum, but he's on an honorary board, and I got to play three holes of golf, and we honored him in 92 at our celebrity golf tournament, and as president, I played three holes of golf with him. He was like...
What was that like? What was that like?
90. Oh, it was just a riot. Plus, at the end, we gave him a plaque that I wrote as one of the soldiers like you that was there for his show. And his wife told me when he passed that that was his favorite plaque, and he had like a million. But just it was from the heart, you know. It wasn't one of these, you know, typical plaques. It was like, you don't know how much your visit meant. I know you visited millions of troops from World War II on, but... it was kind of a poetic thing, plaque that I gave him, and I wish I still had it. But
yeah. Was such a patriot. He was a patriot.
talked earlier, and I think Leonard brought it up, is that we just don't really have a leader patriot like a Bob Hope. You know what I mean, Shad?
No, there's not. There's not. There's so much bickering and segregation even amongst veteran groups, and we've talked about that on earlier shows. And I really hope Sue does get elected, because maybe we can work with her to unify veteran services, not just the VA, but all the community-based organizations. You know, if we all came together, we definitely do a lot more than the VA can do because of its lack of user-friendly application. But, you know, there are a lot of great groups out there. It's just everybody's segregated, and I guess it's because everybody's battling for the same dollar when you don't get government funding like the VA.
Well, it would be an honor to help in any way I could.
Well, and I know she will, and I tell you what, we got about 30 seconds left, but as always, we seem to run out of time, but Shad, I think we're definitely getting the word out. I think things are good. Sue, we, as always, thank you for taking some time off the campaign trail. We wish you well on getting elected. And Shad, hey, as always, thanks. And Leonard, it's always cut short.
Unbelievably
quick. I'm going to start cutting into your radio time on your show.
I think so. I think you did today.
Oh, okay.
You already initiated it. So
thanks a lot.
Weekend,
talk to you later, Shad. You're unbelievable.